Well, it's January 8th, 8 days into the new year. Did anybody make any New Year's resolutions? Nobody. Nobody made a New Year's resolution, not a single one. Well, I can just go back and sit down because that's kind of what I was going to talk about today. Well, I've always been somebody who tended to do that. I would try to set a number of different New Year's resolutions. One of them I would try to have a spiritual category, and that might be to read the Bible through in a year. I did that a number of years in a row, and I found out I was just kind of reading words. It really wasn't penetrating. Every now and then I would find something that would jump out at me. And so one year I set a goal. I'm going to read the New Testament through, or maybe not even read it all through, but I'm going to start in the New Testament, and I'm going to read a number of verses. And I'm going to stop there, and I'm going to then think about, if I was going to teach this in Sunday school, how would I teach it? And that worked pretty well. I got more out of that than I had just reading the words going through the whole thing. A few years, I had a goal of when I was preaching regularly at Huntington, I set a resolution that I was going to fast on one of the days of the week before I preached. I did that for a while. I usually set physical goals of some sort. I'm a runner, and so I would set some sort of a goal. I would want to run some sort of a time in a race, and of course, you got to work hard to get there, or I'd set, I want to run so many miles in the year, and I would do that. I've done the similar things for swimming and running. The one thing, as you get older, they tell you you're supposed to do things to help strengthen your upper body. So I've done things like push-ups and pull-ups. That usually lasts about a month. Don't do that one very well. I like reading. And I like reading books like by Grisham and Baldassi and Flynn and Clancy, spy novels. But then I set a couple of years, I set a goal. I'm going to read at least three nonfiction books during the year. A couple of times I did that. One year I was taking a class on spirituality. And that kind of helped me with that goal. I set a goal of reading 9 books because during the 9 months we was in classes, you had to read at least one book a month. So I was able to make those. But I'll have to make a confession that I was usually closer to obtaining the physical goals than I was the spiritual goals, just kind of the way I made up. This morning, I want to talk a little bit in light of the new year and looking forward to 2023. Anybody written something down that they put 2022 on? You know, we don't write checks much anymore, but yep. Had to think about that a number of times. I don't think I've done that yet, but I probably will before too much longer. Talk a little bit about spiritual formation. And the scripture that was just read really addresses that. Romans 12, you know, I don't know if you remember from about a month ago when I was here just before Christmas, I talked about when I read scripture, I look at, there's usually one or two words that jump out at me. So I want to look at three words this morning that are in that scripture, and then we'll talk about them and look at that. How does that fit in looking forward to the year and in our spiritual formation, forming the spirit within us? So, there are three words that really jump out at me. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Worship. I want to lift that up just a minute. In the Old Testament, the word for worship, if you translate it literally, look what it literally means. It means to bow down or lay prostrate. So just get down basically on the floor, the ground, and just lay yourself out. It's literally what the Hebrew word. Now, when Paul, assuming Paul is the author of Romans, I'll make that assumption this morning. When Paul is writing here in Romans, he talks about what is our true and proper worship. And when I began to look into this word, I was surprised. I was surprised. He says things like, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is your act of worship. That seems a little odd to me. You know, sacrifices in the Old Testament were when you were taking in either the lambs or the calves or the doves, and you were sacrificing them You know, maybe that's kind of always what's been in my mind. But the root of the word that Paul uses here for worship really means a person going and doing labor for pay. That is the root of the word that Paul uses here for the word worship. A person who goes and does labor for pay. Now, if we fit that into offer your bodies a living sacrifice, and that begins to make a little more sense to me, because we're beginning to work for God, actually do physical labor or some sort of mental labor that we might normally get paid for. We're doing that in an act of service to God. So work changes from being, you know, I always think of worship as, you know, singing, praying, preaching, a time of compassion, surrounding each other and supporting each other in community. And maybe that comes into play. But I really think Paul is probably getting at worship becomes doing acts of service versus what we might do here as a community on a Sunday morning. The second word that I wanted to bring out here is that he says in the second verse, do not conform to the pattern of the world. So the word conform, the Greek word there is schematso, which really the root for that is schema. And we get scheme from that, the English word scheme. Now, when I think about in our culture, we think about someone who schemes, we think there's usually some sort of mischief there. You know, the kids in elementary or middle school or high school, they're scheming to maybe, you know, get under their teacher's skin, or they're scheming to get away with something that they're not supposed to. Or maybe in the sense that, you know, we think of maybe crooks or whatever, they're always coming up with some sort of a scheme, or the person at work who really doesn't put a lot of effort into work, they're always coming up with some sort of scheme to get out of what they're supposed to be doing. But the real word scheme here is really in the Greek means a plan, putting together a plan. Now, when I worked for Dominion, we had what we call schematics, which were basically blueprints, drawings, and they kind of gave us a direction on what was built, what was there. And in an electrical system, sometimes those schematics can be rather complex. But a scheme is really a plan. So when Paul talks about here, do not conform to the pattern of this world, he's talking about don't let your plans be those that are the world's plans. So we have worship, giving in service, and we have scheme, making sure our plans are not the world's plans. Now, the third word here, we're probably a little more familiar with, is the word transformed, which comes from the Greek word metamorpho. We get metamorphosis. And the example I always use there is the butterfly. The butterfly starts out as a caterpillar and goes through a metamorphosis where its form is changed, completely changed. So Paul says here, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed, metamorphosized, by the renewing of your mind. Now, there's not much I can do to transform my physicalness. I'm an old, wrinkly, thinning, gray-haired man. Yeah, I guess I could wear a wig. Yeah, I don't think as much I could get some plastic surgery and, you know, pull the wrinkles out. Pull my eyebrows up really high. But nothing but me would change except maybe the way someone would see me. But there are ways that we can do to transform the interior or our minds. And so this morning, I want us to think about spiritual formation, how God forms us spiritually, and how we have somehow or another, perhaps maybe you haven't, but I know I have, I've been influenced by the schemes or the plans of the world. And how do I transform back to the way God has desired me to be as a person, as a human being? I came across a number of years ago, and this came from, this is not original with me by any means. It came from Port City Community Church in Wilmington, North Carolina. It happened to be where my daughter was going to church at the time. And the pastor there, Mike Ashcroft, he came up with a process probably about 15 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, that he called My One Word. And since you guys have not written any New Year's resolutions, this will work fine because you don't have to throw those out. We can start fresh with something new. And I'm going to talk about My One Word, how we choose a word that we can use as our lens for the year that might help us begin to transform or have that spiritual formation that God desires for us. I often do things that look at my personal self-improvement, or maybe we all do. We may look at our eating habits, our exercise habits, our prayer habits, or we could say lack thereof for any of those, our personal devotions. Maybe the TV is there. We become somehow another TV addicts, and we decide we're going to do something about it. Maybe y'all don't do that on New Year's. And maybe you decide I'm going to do that during Lent. I don't know. I'll give you all the benefit of the doubt there. We're going to work on this during Lent. But I have realized that I am not going to be transformed by cutting out my diet of vitamin O. Y'all have any idea what vitamin O is? Ever heard of that before? Well, let me give you an example here. I pretty much am addicted to vitamin O. Vitamin O. Anything with an O in it. Oreos, Fritos, Doritos A, Doritos B, Cheetos, Ho-Hos, and Diet Coke. So that's my vitamin O. And I can set all kinds of goals or whatever, but that's not going to transform me. Maybe it'll make me live a few weeks longer or a few months longer or whatever. But I want to suggest this morning that we somehow or another develop a lens through which we work. And it consists, like I've alluded to, of just one word that we choose and will help us perhaps focus a little bit better in this coming year, or whatever period. Maybe you want to do it for a month, whatever period of time you choose. Now, I first started this probably 8 or 9 years ago. Don't know if I have that right. And I started off by taking a hard look at myself. Who is Jim Thornton? What makes up Jim Thornton? What does he do? What's important to him? And what I found, and I probably already knew this, but I sort of sat down and made a list. Who am I? I'm type A. I'm a type A person. I'm pretty much a driven person. On days when I'm home, I make a list. These are the things I want to do today. And I'm not very satisfied unless I get them all accomplished. I've got a little electrical problem in my house where I found, and I've decided in one particular circuit, I need to change all of the outlets and all of the light switches in that circuit. The old kind where they used to jam the electrical thing in the back, and one or two of them have come loose, and it's kind of made me nervous. So yesterday, I had on my list to do was to change all of those in the blue bedroom. And I didn't get them all done. I had other things to do, had to get ready for the sermon. So I had other things to do, and that didn't accomplish, and that bothered me last night. Because this type A driven person did not get his list done. So I get frustrated when the things that I desire to get accomplished are not accomplished. Back when I was working for the Dominion, they had a process. It started in about 1995 or so. It's called Management by Objectives. At the beginning of the year, you would make a list of things that you wanted to do to improve the unit in which you were working. You had this set of objectives. I loved it. Oh man, I wanted to get those objectives done. You were supposed to write those objectives where they were challenging enough that maybe you couldn't accomplish 100%. It would drive me nuts if I didn't get 100%. I want to do things faster, quicker, but not necessarily better. I just want to get them done. Quality is not particularly important to me always. It's the quantity that's very, very important. That's just kind of who I am. So as I began to look at them myself, I began to think about what is the lens that I need to use to help Jim in his spiritual formation in this next year. And I went through a lot of different iterations. I discussed it with my wife. I was in a small group at a time. It was important to me, so I tried to get some feedback from them. And I came up with the word, and I made this breathe. Breathe. Because what I needed to do was when I get involved in something was just to stop, take a breath, take a fresh look, and realize the world's not going to fall apart if I didn't get all those outlets done before the end of the day. So I made the sign, and I put it up in my office. And so every day, I would be in there at some point, and I would see this, and it would remind me to breathe. This became my word for the first year. It's the only year that I made something like this. The other times have been real simple, just write it out in magic marker and, you know, stick it up on my little bulletin board in my office. But anyway, I did that. About 3 years ago, 2018 to 2020, I talked about this class in spiritual development that I was in. And I re-looked and used this word again because I became to realize that in the Hebrew word for spirit, ruach. Yeah, Hebrew has some sort of a hard pronunciation there. And the ruach, if you go back to the root of that, which is translated Holy Spirit or spirit in the Hebrew, it really means air or breath or breathe. And so when I began to think about that, my thought for that year, I think it was 2020 or 2019, was I wanted to think and have in my life that breathing in spirit and breathing out spirit. A little bit different from what I'd done, but it was kind of on my mind during the year. I wanted to be thinking that God is always coming into me and releasing me. Coming into me and releasing me. So that became the lens, or that became the focus of me for 2019. I haven't chosen, I've got one more word I want to talk about. I am not, maybe because I can blame it on my type A personality, going to get things done. But let's, confession, I am not a very graceful person. Grace does not come naturally for me. I want to get my list done. I want to get from point A to point B. If it happen to be relationships or people that get in the way, they might get pushed aside. I'm often been accused of being, I wouldn't say accused, I've often been convicted of being rather rude because I'm this one focused person. So 1 year I chose the word grace. I don't know if it helped me or not, but I did try to focus on that. So anyway, there's some words that I've chosen. I haven't chosen my word yet for 2019. I try to set myself the 2023. But I like to do that by the end of January. And I will get some people to help me process that. I've got a couple of things in mind, one thing in particular. It's going to be very difficult for me, the word I'm thinking about. So it's going to be hard for me to commit to that. But once I get to it, that type A said, okay, we're going to do it this year. So anyway, so I want to talk to you about some suggestions. How do you, if this seems something that might be of interest to you, but in spiritual formation, how do we get there? How do I do this? This is something I want to do to help me develop spiritually. In your outline that's in the bulletin, I have a few questions there that we might ask ourselves as I develop this lens through which I might see in the year 2023. An alternative to New Year's resolutions. You guys don't even need an alternative since you hadn't done that. But first, what is shiny and bright that attracts me? What is shiny and bright? What is it that you like to do? What is it that you enjoy doing that It may be beneficial, it may not. What is shiny and bright that attracts me? Always a question. In my case, it was the list. I wanted to get the list done. In another case, when I chose grace, it was because I want to speed and hurry through. I missed relationships, so I wanted to become more graceful. There were things that I thought about. What are the shiny, bright things? What are the things where I spend my time? Is that beneficial to me? Is that developing me, forming me spiritually? Next question. What kind of person do I want to be? Well, I wanted to be a person that didn't rush through things. I wanted to be a person that slowed down. I wanted to be a person a little bit different. I wanted something to transform the inside of me when I chose breathe and when I chose grace. So what kind of person do I want to be? What kind of person does God want me to be? And then finally, what are the characteristics of that person? What does that person do? How does that person act? I'm not talking about changing behaviors now, but just thinking about what are the characteristics? How do they act? Is that the way I want to act? How do I get there? And so thinking about this spiritual formation. And so when I go through and I work on it, and this isn't something that I usually do in an hour, it's something I usually do in a month. And I'm thinking about it and processing it pretty much for the entire month of January. And what are those characteristics? And then once I go there, I begin to maybe jot some words down. Jot some words down. What are those? Breathe, grace. The person who invented is the right word. It came up with this my one word, Mike Ashcroft. He chose one. He's another. He's a leader of the church. He's a good leader. He's driven as a visionary. But he says, I want to get all these things done. And he said, I realize that I leave a lot of details out. So when he said his word last year, I was listening to the podcast by him, might have been 2020, that his word was detail. Because he needed to see through the lens of detail because he left them so many things hanging. He was so anxious to get bigger and better and brighter in his words that he didn't pay attention to the details. So there are all kinds of words we might come up with. One of the words I've thought about is prayer. Prayer. I need to see through the lens of prayer for the year. So once I begin to do this, then I think about who can I trust to run this by? Am I, you know, when I look into a mirror, you know, I see this 68-year-old guy that, you know, whatever. And then I see this person there, this reflection. And then every now and then I'll look at a picture of myself. That's not even the same person. I mean, that's, you know, I see something entirely different. So sometimes we don't see ourselves the way we really are. So that's when we need to have somebody to process with. It can be a trusted person. It can be a small group, a group of people. Some people you trust and say, this is what I'm thinking about. Or do you even ask the question and said, you know, I'm thinking I'm a type A person that rushes and does these things. And y'all see me that same way. It needs to be somebody you don't mind giving you some real serious feedback. Sometimes that's not a spouse, because we sometimes want to be gentle with our spouses so we don't start some sort of a row. But anyway, needs to be somebody who is a better mirror than what we ourselves see in the mirror. So, spiritual formation. How do I begin in the scripture to think about worship, the acts of service? The act of service, formation, beginning to worship God in the way we act, and that we are no longer conforming to the world around us, but we are being transformed on the inside. So my goal this morning was to hopefully give us a small tool, a small ability to help us to be able to work at that formation, that metamorphosis. We can't change our physical selves very much. We might be able to gain or lose a few pounds or get something done to us, dye our hair or whatever. We can do little things like that. But what we really want to do is transform ourselves into the scheme that God intended and not what the world intended. If you're interested in this, there is a website called myoneword.org. And if you myoneword.org, if you're interested in doing that, you can go in. Lots of tools there. But I found it very helpful, particularly for a type A person who's addicted to vitamin O. So let's pray. Lord, this morning, we desire that we can come and to worship you, Lord, by giving of ourselves into a true act of spiritual worship. Lord, help us to take seriously the spiritual formation that we no longer desire to be involved in the schemes of the world, but Lord, to be involved in your particulars. So Lord, we're asking this morning that you transform our minds. You transform our hearts, and you give us the ability to breathe in your spirit, that you may fill us and keep us full. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.